It is draft season. We're going to talk about that coming up next on the Cincinnati Podcast.
It's an exciting time to be a Bengals fan.
We got a special show, as always.
The voice of the Bengals. Dan Ford, Willie Anderson, Corey Dillon.
The name of this thing is called Cincinnati, and I'm not going to stop.
Talk to us about that roller coaster season.
I'm still going to give you the same AJ.
I'm going to work as hard as I can to be the best.
Always working ever since I met y'all, boy.
I got to get you a top five receiver.
Better, man.
Good. Watch out for us.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Cincinnati Podcast. I am Ace. He is Zim. Draft season is around the corner. We're coming to you guys live right now on Twitter and YouTube. If you are new here, please feel free to hit that subscribe button. We truly appreciate that. But we have a special guest today. We are going to bring in Pro Football Network's Ian Cummings. So get ready for that coming up next. All right, Houday Nation, we are welcoming in PFN's Ian Cummings here to talk draft. Ian, how you doing today, bro?
Doing good. I'm happy to be here with you guys, and I appreciate you bearing with me with some of these technical difficulties. I was on my computer for the podcast this morning, and then I loaded it up, and for some reason the camera wasn't working, so I had to get on my phone here. But I'm happy to talk draft with you. We're finally on the home stretch, and a lot of exciting outcomes to explore.
For sure.
Yes, sir. Like, I was watching a bunch of your stuff throughout this whole process. I appreciate you coming on with us. Before we even start off, can you tell people where they can find you out, like on your social media handle, or where can they check out your stuff?
Yeah, so if you have any draft questions, you can hit me up at IC_draft on X, formerly Twitter. I'm going to keep calling it Twitter, but you can hit me up there. And then at PFN365 is Pro Football Network. That's where you can find my written content.
So you heard it first. You can answer. You can just send him all the craziest draft scenarios, stupid questions. Send them all to Ian. He's going to answer them all day.
Yep, go for it. I'm an open book.
So kicking things off, in your opinion, what are some of the strongest positions, I guess, in this draft, and what are some of the weakest positions in this draft overall?
I would say overall, wide receiver. I mean, that's kind of, you hear about that all the time. But this receiver class is pretty stacked for sure. You got the big three at the top. You got Brian Thomas Jr., Xavier Worthy, A.D. Mitchell. But even beyond that, I think I have 18 receivers in my top 100. And then I have, 26 more in my top 300. So it's a very strong class at multiple levels. The offensive line group is very strong. A lot of natural right tackles in the first round in particular, which is pretty compelling for the Bengals. But you got some left tackles too. You got Troy Fitanu, Amarius Mims if you want. You've got a few other guys as well. And you have some developmental players on day two as well. So I think offensive line is very strong. And then guards as well. If Cordell Volson doesn't work out long term, there's some opportunity to invest there. And then I would say, one position that gets overlooked sometimes is corner. But I think the cornerback class is very strong too. I think, not as much length and athleticism as there was last year, but a lot of really good nickel DBs, right? So if you're looking at the Bengals, what they do with Daxon Hill, right? Mike Hilton being a free agent in 2025, there could be an opportunity to hedge for that as well. So I say those are the strongest positions. The two weakest ones would probably be linebacker and running back to me. Running back, I don't see a bona fide first round guy. My first one is outside the top 50, but I do think there is some good depth on day three. Linebacker, meanwhile, a lot of guys clustered in that kind of day two range, but then the depth falls off there. So still some good talent at the positions, but not quite as strong as other ones in this class.
When you talked about the cornerback position too, I think a lot of people or a lot of our fans for the Bengals, I feel like a lot of them are kind of not downplaying it, but not taking it as serious that Chido Bayawuzie left in free agency. We did draft DJ Turner last year and different things like that. Is there a world where you could see our board at pick number 18 having one or two of the best corners in like Terrion Arnold or Quinyon Mitchell? Can you see a world where those guys are still on the board?
I think there's a chance for sure. It's kind of across the board how teams feel about those guys. Some teams I'd imagine are very high on Arnold. I'm very high on him. He's a top 10 player for me. And Quinyon Mitchell is my 16th overall player too. So big fan of them. But depending on how the board falls, you know, we mentioned the strengths of this class. Right away, we know four quarterbacks are going to top five, right? We know that there's probably going to be at least three receivers in that range. Offensive linemen could really stack in there. You got Brock Bowers, you got a couple edge guys too. So depending on who goes at different positions, Byron Murphy II could be a surprise top 15 pick too. So those picks could push down a player. And I look at Terrion Arnold. He would be the proper fit for me for Cincinnati because he can play the boundary and he can play the slot too. That's the thing with him. He's got that versatility more so than Quinyon Mitchell does right now on day one. I think Quinyon Mitchell could do it, but it's more of a projection. With Terrion Arnold, you've seen him man guys up in the slot, so you know he can. He's physical, which Lou Anarumo really likes. He's fluid. He's explosive out of brace. He's got really good ball skills and supportability. I think he'd be a phenomenal fit for you. So that's a unique wild card. It kind of throws a wrench in, you know, what we've usually been accustomed to seeing the Bengals take in mock drafts, which is either a defensive tackle or an offensive tackle, right? I think corner is an option if Terrion Arnold is there. If he's not, then I'd probably wait until round two or round three.
So, obviously, the big thing that Bengals fans, you've probably seen on social media, they're talking about Brock Bowers. Talk to me about the possibility of Brock being an option there based off of, you know, what you're seeing from your draft perspective, and then any other options at tight end that the Bengals could look at other than Brock Bowers.
Yeah, for sure. And it's fun to dream about, right? It's fun to dream about him being there at 18. I think you could make a move up for him if you really liked him. Since the Bengals signed Mike Gesicki, and I think they brought back Tanner Hudson, I do think they're probably looking at it within a lens of we're not forced to take anyone, right? So they're not boxed in, so they might be willing to wait. But I think the floor for Brock Bowers is number 15 to the Indianapolis Colts. I think that's as far as he gets. If he's still on the board, I think the Colts have to take him. He's a perfect fit for that Shane Steichen offense. And pairing him with Anthony Richardson, man, that would be such an explosive combination. So I think if you're the Bengals and you really want Bowers, like if he's a top 10 guy on your board and you want to make a move up, I think you got to move up to 14 to leapfrog the Colts. That's my gut feeling. He'd be a phenomenal weapon for the offense. But now that you're getting T. Higgins back for what looks like at least the 2024 season, I do think you have some flexibility where you're not forced into that outcome. So if you're the Bengals and you want to wait on a tight end, a few other guys, day two, day three, that stand out to me as options. Ben Sinnott is my tight end too. Big fan of him. Versatile, fluid, very good route runner, very strong hands over the middle, good rack threat as well. Jared Wiley from TCU is my tight end three. Big fan of his explosive, fluid athleticism for his size. Very good seam and red zone threat, but he's got some versatility as a blocker. Jatavion Sanders is more of that big slot, but he's explosive, physical in the rack phase again. And then you get to day three, and you've got guys like Cade Stover, Eric Ault, Theo Johnson, Dallin Holker as well, Tanner McLaughlin. There's some good talent in that range. And I think in my mock draft, I had them taking Dallin Holker from Colorado State. So, you know, varying molds for sure. But I think there's talent there where you can invest in that on day three and try to get some value.
Ian is in here cooking already. He's just rattling it off like right off the dome. Going back to that Colts scenario, I totally agree with you. I just think that the talent level is too high. I was just doing a mock where we were looking at the Jets and just looking at like the scenarios on how they could get Brock Bowers or why they would take him. But then the board just has so much talent at those positions when you get to like 10, 11, 12, whatever. And then you get, you know, most of those teams didn't even need one. But going to the Colts, though, don't you think there's a world, though, they lose their CB that and then you're looking at a board that has Terrion Arnold or it has like Quinyon Mitchell and they say, look, let's go get our corner. Like how could you pass on corner? Like make that argument for making the Brock Bowers over a cornerback, which would be looked at as like a extreme need.
Yeah, and it's a good discussion because it, you know, it puts the positional value versus talent, you know, BPA, right, kind of in the spotlight. So I think with the Colts in particular, it comes down to how they value Brock Bowers, right? Because everyone knows that he is, you know, potential top 10 talent in this class. Is he higher than either CB for you? And I think for the Colts in particular, too, they have a unique scheme with Gus Bradley, a lot of cover three looks where they're more zone capable, right? So that would insinuate that maybe Quinyon Mitchell is a better fit there, or even beyond that, we know they like to take swings on really athletic guys who are natural and size saddle on day two and day three. So I'm looking at guys like Decamarion Richardson from Mississippi State, DeAndre Prince from Ole Miss, maybe TJ Tampa from Iowa State, right? Guys who have that length and enough speed and explosiveness to work in that phase. So I think the Colts could absolutely take a corner, but they do have Julius Brents, who they're high on the upside there. They did have some good play from some of their later round picks, Jalen Jones last year. They re-signed Kenny Moore. So, you know, I think it's a need for them for sure. But if Brock Bowers is rated high enough on your board, even though you have a needed corner, I think I feel like the Colts would be more inclined to take Bowers and then take a long athletic guy to develop a little bit on day two or day three.
So I want to switch to the trenches here on the defensive side of the ball. Two guys that have kind of been trending topics in the Bengals community. I'm a fan of Byron Murphy. The other guy is Johnny Newton. Talk about the differences between them and which one you have higher and which is a better fit for Cincinnati.
Yeah, for sure. I have Johnny Newton higher. He's my 12th overall player, I believe. So there's a decent gap between them, actually, for me. Byron Murphy the second is still a first-round guy for me, but Johnny Newton, to me, is, you know, a more complete player. I think they do have some trade-offs to them. I think Byron Murphy the second is a little bit better at – they're very similar size. That's the unique thing. They're both around 6'1", a little bit over 300, with, I think, 32 and 3/8 inch arms. So they're very similar from a size perspective. So it's unique to see the differences with their play styles within those similar frames. But I think Johnny Newton is more flexible, and that's the biggest reason I'm higher on him, is that, you know, from 3-tech or 5-tech, he can splice through gaps. He can use that torso flexibility to really wrench free. And then there's some reps where he's face up 5-tech, and he's winning outside the apex with ankle flexion too. For a guy who's 6'2", 300, that's pretty freaky, right? So, you know, he's explosive, flexible, really good with his hands, but he's a good one-gapper in run defense too. I think where Murphy has him beat is Byron Murphy the second is a little bit better at absorbing combo blocks and double teams from 1-tech and 2-y if you need him to, right? I wouldn't put him there all the time, but there are some fronts where maybe you do want to have a guy who can rotate in and do that, right? And take the load off Sheldon Rankins, right? I think Byron Murphy the second is a little bit better at doing that. So if you're the Bengals and you want more of a hybrid 1-tech, 2-y, 3-tech, 4-y guy, I think Murphy is a little bit better in that phase, whereas Johnny Newton is maybe reserved to 3-tech, 5-tech, can play some 7-tech in NASCAR fronts as well. But that's kind of the trade-off for me. But Johnny Newton, his flexibility, you know, is a rare trait for a defensive tackle. I haven't seen a DT with that kind of flexibility in his torso and his ankles in a long time. And he's a very good hand technician as well. So it's tough. I think it depends on, you know, if you're the Bengals, if you really want a guy who's a little bit sturdier as a run defender in those interior alignments, that's where Murphy would come into play. So I can see it for sure. But Johnny has a slightly higher grade for my board.
Yeah, it's insane. Our fan base, I feel like, has been really, really high on Johnny Newton. When then I see a lot of mocks where you'll see him like at the very end of the first. Why do you think that the discrepancy, is it like injury based or whatever? Like, what is this big margin where some people have him going as early as 15, some people have him going as late as 32, and even this week they've been talking about speculation of him falling out of the first round. What is the big deal on why there's such a big discrepancy in where he's going to go?
I think it's part injury based for sure. I can't remember the exact injury. I'm pretty sure it was a Jones fracture in the foot, if I remember correctly. It might have been something different, but I'll have to double check. But yeah, he did have an injury that's been looming over him for most of the offseason. He didn't get a chance to perform at the NFL Combine or put up testing numbers at the pro day either. So, you know, you're looking at that. That might add some uncertainty to it. I think more for injuries, and it's unfortunate because we can only know so much, right? These NFL teams, they host guys on visits and they evaluate them at the NFL Combine. We don't always see the medical checks and how teams pass or fail guys on an individual basis. So we don't know, but that could be driving down his value. And then sometimes teams are a little bit tricky when it comes to valuing undersized defensive tackles, right? Of course, we saw Kalijah Kansi went round one last year, right? So that was kind of the case study. We know that it's not always the factor that weighs him down. I think the bigger thing for Newton is the injury and the medical history, right? And that's something that each team will have to pass him or fail him on an individual basis. I think if medicals weren't a part of it, I think he'd be pretty safe. He'd be a safer bet to go round one.
Nose tackle. A lot of people are talking about like the 3-tech, kind of the interior pass rushing defensive tackles, but the Bengals really have a need for nose tackle. Talk about Devondre Sweat in the nose tackle class for any viable options that they could look at throughout the draft.
Yeah, Devondre Sweat is probably the top one just on film, purely on film, you know, around 6'4", 360. The dude's just a mountain. You know, it's crazy how big he is. And, you know, you can see him encumber double teams on tape and combo blocks. He really just eats up blocks and he kind of suffocates offensive run schemes. And then in pass rushing too, like he's got some juice, right? I think he's more of a linear explosive guy, you know, in terms of he does naturally – a little tightly wound in on the lateral plane, doesn't have great lateral agility, but he can run through you. He's got enough initial burst to do that. And then in run defense, he's got so much size and length and strength where he can just completely, you know, swallow up double teams, hold the line, prevent displacement, and allow other guys like, you know, Sheldon Rankins or another athletic three tech to play off him in pursuit and stay clean. So I think that's the big appeal with a guy like Tavondre Sweat. The problem is with him, you know, you do have the off-field concerns. There's been rumors that he was, you know, kind of undisciplined off the field. And then the DWI arrest, the month of the draft, doesn't really alleviate those concerns, right? So there's been some talk that maybe he falls to day three. If you're the Bengals and you've done your due diligence on character and you think that you can iron it out, right, then maybe at a certain point you could take him, right? But that's the tricky part with his evaluation, because not only is that, you know, a character issue, right, but at the same time, a lot of nose tackles who get into that 350, 360 range, sometimes they have problems with weight management at the NFL level. And so if you're not being disciplined with your conditioning, that can also be a problem. So it's two-pronged, but, you know, on the field, he's a phenomenal talent, and he's one of the best pure nose tackles in the draft. A few other options at nose tackle, if you don't want to take that risk on Sweat, McKinley Jackson from Texas A&M is built a little different. He's a little more compact. He's around 6'1", 326, I want to say. But he's got 34-inch arms, so he's a really, really good combination of natural leverage and proportional length. He's explosive. He's pretty twitched up. But sometimes being that smaller, more compact guy doesn't quite have as much mass to anchor back on like Sweat does. So that's kind of the trade-off. Evan Anderson from Florida Atlantic is a good late-round option that I like. Very explosive on the straight line plane, right? But then he's got enough strength to hold up at the point. A little bit less developed technically, but I think the tools are there. And then guys like Fabian Lovett from Florida State, dude's a tree trunk, 35-inch arms, very powerful, very strong at the middle. And then guys like Justin Rogers from Auburn probably goes late round undrafted, but again, has the strength to hold up at the point. It's a pretty hard player to move, if nothing else.
Another player that's really hard to move, Amarius Mims. I wanted to bring him up because I just think that you were talking about like off the field stuff for Sweat, a guy that's you know, kind of like a hot ticket or a high temperature guy, like currently right now in football discourse, I guess, is Amarius Mims with his injuries. And is it propaganda on his injury and what they're projecting for that? And where do you see him stacking up if the Bengals are on the clock at pick 18 and Amarius Mims is the one of the last tackles that out of the top tier ones that we perceive to be? What are your thoughts on him at that spot?
Yeah, for sure. Mims is my 22nd overall player, I believe. So he's my OT6. So he'd be a good value there for sure. And I think it depends on how the board falls. JC Latham is slightly higher graded for me. I think he's a little bit farther along technically. But that's not a knock on Mims, because I think Mims is still very young. And I think he's very far along for his age. I look back to the last cycle with Broderick Jones. There was kind of a similar framework with him, you know, kind of young, athletic, raw. But, you know, I think some of the foundational things like dropping your weight, anchoring, acquiring leverage, you know, placing your extensions, I think Mims is better than Jones was at this time last year. So I think you have a lot to work with. He's very athletic. He's hard to move. Like you said, he's a big dude, but he wears that weight well. He looks like a move tight end out there. It's kind of crazy. So, you know, very athletic, all the physical tools to work with. The biggest wild card for him is going to be the injuries. And I don't think it's just noise. I do think it does bear some consideration. You know, he had tightrope surgery with the ankle. And then there were a lot of games where, you know, he didn't start a ton at Georgia. And even when he did start, there were multiple games where he left the game early because he couldn't stay on the field. Right. So durability, it's not necessarily, you know, a big injury like a torn ACL or anything that hangs over his head. It's more so, can we count on him to play, you know, all snaps each week? Can we count on him to stay available on a week-to-week basis? Right now, I don't think the answer is 100% yes. So that's the concern with Amarius Mims. Can he stay durable? Can he stay available? If he can, you're looking at a very talented player who can play left tackle or right tackle already, who's athletic, who's very physical in the run game, and has a good technical foundation, right? But, you know, there are some factors that create uncertainty, mainly the medicals.
Need your top five tackles and the best scheme fit for the Bengals. Which one fits the Bengals scheme the best?
My top five tackles. I got Joe Alt at number one. He's a top five player for me. Big fan of his game, man. Big fan of his game. Might be my favorite tackle that I've ever evaluated.
Can you see a scenario where the Chargers actually pass on Joe Alt at five?
I can, man. I mean, it's difficult for the Chargers because they have so many different needs. I think it depends on what happens before them in regards to trades. I could see them trading down with a QB needy team potentially, right, or taking a big three wide receiver. But they have options, okay, for sure. But at the same time, Alden is very tough to pass up on. He's that good. Olu Fashanu is my OT2. I believe Talia Sefuaga from Oregon State is my OT3. Really like his corrective athleticism for his size, his range and space. I know his hand precision can be a little bit better with that outside hand, but he's got good combative independent hands. He's got good synergy as a pass protector. And his range, his ability to launch off the ball, reminds me of Jason Peters a little bit. I think at his peak, that's the kind of blocker you're getting. My OT4 is Troy Fatanu from Washington, top 15 player for me. Big fan of the recovery athleticism, again, the frame that you're working with, the proportions. And then J.C. Latham is my OT5. I think the best fit for the Bengals would be, and you guys know real quick, because I've been trying to study up, but what kind of run scheme do they run the most, right? Because I know pass protection is a big thing for them.
Gap scheme. They got a bunch of maulers. We don't have athleticism, but that's part of the reason why a lot of our fans have been saying, well, we need to get more athletic. And, you know, I don't know if they started off wanting to go zone, but they just didn't have the athletes.
Yeah, it wasn't working, so they just switched to gap. It was zone, but then they switched to gap because the zone run wasn't working.
Gap scheme, they run duos a lot, and they do a bunch of pin and pull stuff like throughout, like periodically throughout the – depending on who they play.
Okay, all right. So thinking about it like that, probably J.C. Latham or Amarius Mims would be the best fit, I think. I think those are both guys who have pretty solid foundations.
I think Latham's gone. There's no world I think Latham gets, like – I think a lot of people will see how many true pass sets he had in college football, which is higher than all of these guys that we're naming. And they'll look at like how good he looked in a lot of those different spots and just feel so much more comfort because he's such a sure thing to me in terms of like, I don't know about his upside, but he's such a sure thing as I think that this guy can play in the NFL. Yeah, and I don't think he'll even get to 18 for us.
I think there's a chance, right? The draft surprises us every year. Yeah. There's a chance, but no, I agree. And I think looking at guys like Troy Fatanu and Amarius Mims where some medical red flags have come up. There's been some talk that teams have flagged Fatanu for his knee, right?
Knee.
As well. So I think there is an outcome.
I don't want him.
Exactly. Especially for a bigger guy. You got a lot of weight to carry, right? So it's tough. But there's an outcome where Latham is there. But I agree. His pass sets, I think he gets underrated with how some people bill him as just this, you know, explosive, powerful run blocker. He's very good there. But his pass sets are so clean, man. I mean, he's got great knee bend. He's got great depth out of his kick. He's very measured and synergetic, right? And he's got good timing with his extensions. Again, he can just explosively latch him on guys and kind of nullify those rushes. So I think he gets overlooked there. He's a top 20 guy for me, and I think there's lots to like with that for sure.
You were talking about surprises in the draft before we put you through the fire coming up right now. Give me a surprise, or I don't know if you got a couple quick takes or something or a player that you think that no one is thinking about is going to go early, or somebody that you're just thinking is off the radar that's going to shock people on Thursday night.
Just a couple guys that fit the profile of players who I think could sneak in round one without anyone expecting it. Patrick Paul from Houston, the offensive tackle, I think he could go. He's more of an early day three value for me, so that would be a big reach on my board personally. But I can see why NFL teams would kind of be taken by the tools. 6'7", 331, 36-inch arms, explosive vertical athlete. His recovery athleticism, his flexibility, those are things I struggle with, and his hand placement isn't great yet. So that would be too rich for me, but I could see it. And then on the defensive side, Marshawn Nealand from Western Michigan. I could see him sneaking into round one. You've got four edge rushers at the top, Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, Laiatu, Chop Robinson. But after that, the edge class dips down a little bit. So I think if there's a fifth edge that goes round one, I could see Nealand being that guy because he's got that power profile that teams love.
For sure. Well, as Zim alluded to, we are going to put you on the spot, man. We're using Pro Football Network, which you're very familiar with. We're using you guys as mock draft simulator, and we're going to have you be Duke Tobin for the Bengals. So we'll go ahead and let this mock generator go. So no surprises, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels going up here at the top. Joe Alt goes off of the board to, it looks like, the Bears. Terrion Arnold, who you talked about, went to the Jets. That's kind of intriguing. Quinyon goes to the Colts. So it looks like the Colts didn't end up with Brock Bowers. Do you want to take any trades here, or are you just rejecting these?
So I'm on my phone, so you guys are going to have to help me. What are the terms?
All right, so we got 36 pick from Washington and the 40th pick for 18.
I'm not trading back that far, nah.
All right, and then we've got the Steelers with the 20th pick and 119. Ooh. So do you want 119 or no to move
inside,
back to
inside the division? That's kind of suspicious. I don't want to help.
Nasty.
I'm going to box him out.
Okay. Yeah. I like this guy.
So, I'm not sure he's aboard right now, but the top prospects are Liatu Latu, Jarrett Verse, Troy Fatanu, Brian Thomas Jr.
Where did Brock Bowers go?
Yeah, Brock Bowers already went. Johnny Newton, Byron Murphy, Chop Robinson, Cooper DeJean, and Graham Barton.
All right. Who are the tackles on the board? Are Mims and Latham both gone?
Let's see. Tackles right now. Are Troy Fatanu, Tyler Guyton. Yeah, Mims and Latham are gone. There's Tyler Guyton. Okay. Yeah.
This is fun. This is a unique outcome right here. So Troy Fatanu is interesting to me because he can play tackle and guard. So again, if you wanted him to kick inside with Cordell Volson, if he doesn't pan out this year, like you could absolutely do that.
Brian 24 Thomas, years old though.
Yeah, 24 years old. I mean, to me, it's not. It's more of a separator if he's really close to the younger guy. But you know, I think right out of the game, the high level starter. So I think the medicals are the bigger concern for me. And I look at the Steelers; they're trying to trade up here. I think they got eyes on Brian Thomas Jr. And I wonder if I'm not sure I want to face him right in that vertical tack. And that's not a reason to take a guy. But if Brian Thomas Jr. is still here, because I look at the Jaguars, they're usually a threat to take him. And I know you're getting T. Higgins back for another year, right? But the long-term security isn't there. And then I do think Brian Thomas Jr. can be that movement Z between the two guys. So the more I think about it, man, if those top tackles are off the board, Fatanu makes a lot of sense. But Brian Thomas Jr., man, I know it's not an immediate need, but he is actually my 17th overall player. So he
kind of is. We lost Tyler Boyd, who has 6,000 catches, 6,000 yards, 513 yards. Any other franchise, I think, will be looking to replace it. Can I get your thoughts on the edge, though? You got Latu and Verse right there, too.
Yeah, for sure. And that was another thing that I was thinking about, because you got Trey Hendrickson, right? You got Miles Murphy, who was, I think he started to turn on a little bit down the stretch, but you're still not completely sure what you're getting there.
Right.
Power-oriented guys. So I look at Liatu Latu, man. I mean, I think he's got, he reminds me a little bit of Sean Merriman back in the day, who came right out of the gate, was rookie of the year defensively, right? He's got that pass rushing arsenal. But then Jarrett Verse is that speed to power phenom as well. So you could absolutely add one of those guys if you want to. And this class is stronger at receiver. So if you want, you could take one of those guys, get a receiver down the line, an offensive tackle. I think there's many ways to play it. But I'm going to go with Brian Thomas Jr., man.
I like it.
I think he's a very good fit. I think he's got the verticality for sure. But people underestimate how crafty he is as a rack threat too. And I think in time, as you help him develop his route tree, he can be a true wide receiver one for you. So if you lose T. Higgins eventually down the line, it's not going to hurt as bad.
And you get 1 year.
Just for those at home wondering where Amarius Mims and Latham went, Latham went 14 to the Saints. Amarius Mims went the pick right before the Bengals to the Jaguars.
Can I also say that Ian was very ballsy with this too, because Murphy and Newton and both the edges were on the board when he took Brian Thomas. So I'll tell you this, he'll get the snaps, I think, year one. I know we have Yo Shavas on the team and we have Charlie Jones as well. But year one, you'll see T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, and I think an upgraded wide receiver core. With Brian Thomas, which will be an upgrade over what I think over Tyler Boyd.
Fun fit right away too. So that's all right. So we're here at second round, right?
So we're here in the second round. We have pick 49. We've got an offer from the Dallas Cowboys to move back 7 spots for 56, and they'll also throw in 87. Is that something that you want to accept, or are you wanting to see what's on the board right now?
On the board too, you got Trey Benson, Zach Frazier, Darius Robinson, Rook, Cooper Beebe. So you have the upgrade you were talking about. The guard position is there. Yeah. I can't see any of the other names, but
let's hide this offer for now. Let's not reject it. Let's hide it. Let's see what's on the board and then make our decision. So the positions that I'm looking for, we got the receiver. I want to see what's there at tackle, because the tackle class does thin out a bit after the first round.
That is true. So we've got Roger Rosengarten. We've got Kieron. We've got Blake Fisher. We've got Delmar Glaze. And we got Javon Foster.
All right. Well, I see a defensive tackle. Roger Rosengarten, I like a lot. I just don't know if he's a good fit for the scheme right now, because play strength is probably one of his bigger issues. So, gap scheme, you're getting to your landmark and you're holding the line. And I don't know if I trust him to do that. He's more of an outside zone guy who can get out in space. So defensive tackle, let's see what we got there.
We've got Rook. We've got Michael Hall Jr. We've got Chris Jenkins, Brandon Fisk, Mason Smith, Dwayne Carter, T'Vondre Sweat.
All right. What are you guys feeling here? Because defensive tackle, there are a few options that are intriguing me. I like Rook a lot. He's a fringe top 50 guy for me, if not top 50. He might be in, I think he's just outside my top 50, but explosive. Here's the thing. We have a lot of options on the board. Maybe we do take that trade back, and maybe we see what's there.
We're going to accept the trade offer.
I was going to tell you that I think that I like that trade back. And I was going to also tell you this, too. Because we didn't sign DJ Reader, the fan base is, give me trenches. We got our ass kicked in the AFC North up front last year. So, like, the trenches is at the highest priority, I think, right now, especially if you go Brian Thomas Jr. round one.
Okay, so we move back. We pretty much still have the same options.
Root's still there.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
We're still there.
No, it's difficult because DJ Reader is a nose tackle. We still need a nose at some point. So I think we'll look at that on the tail end of round three. Maybe we can get T'Vondre Sweat at an optimal value. But we'll see with that. I like Rook a lot. I think he's a guy who's a really solid run defender right out of the gate, very explosive, very powerful. But he's got a ton of upside as a pass rusher, too. I was doing some athletic profile comparisons, and he actually has a lot of similarities to Gerald McCoy, which is his pure athletic profile. So I think if you can get him to that ceiling, man, he can rush from 5-tech, 3-tech, 4-eye, and then he's got the ability to really splice across gaps and penetrate and make plays in the backfield. So I'm going to go with Rook here. I think he's the better fit. Chris Jenkins is another potential option because he's a very good run defender right out of the gate. But I like the pass rushing upside a little bit more with Rook.
I like
Chris,
it.
Chris might be there at 87 too.
That's true.
Best available player. I like it. All right. So we're moving on. Our next pick is pick 80. We also have, I think we have 3 third round picks now.
Rosengarten finally went at 74.
All right, we're definitely not accepting a trade from the Browns. I think we're good on accepting trades here. So now we're back in the third round. Let's take a look at everybody. So Chris Jenkins is top player on the board. You got Fisk. I know you talked about we already have kind of our 3-tech. We've got Van Pran. Are there any particular, did you want to go back and look at tackle, or is there anything that you wanted to look at specifically?
What's still there at offensive tackle? Let's take a look at that.
Offensive tackle, Fisher? You've got Kieran out of Yale. You've got Blake Fisher. You've got Delmar Glaze. You've got Goncalves out of Pittsburgh. You've got Javon Foster. Let's see what else we have. Garrett Greenfield, Christian Jones are some of the options that you have at tackle.
Okay. All right. Because here's the thing. I like Kieran a lot. Blake Fisher might be a better fit for the Bengals, being that natural right tackle. And he's also very powerful. He's got that gap blocking ability for sure. And he's explosive, too. I think he had some improvements in 2023 with his pass protection and his hand usage. So, and especially since we have 3 picks at the tail end of round 3 here, I think we can make a slight reach to get that offensive tackle. And at this point, it's good value. So I think my gut says Blake Fisher. I think he's a young tackle with that natural right side ability, and then he's got athletic upside to mold in the years to come. So you don't have to start him right away. He can keep refining his game and potentially be a long-term starter down the line. So I'm going to go with Blake Fisher here.
Don't freak out, Bengals fans. This isn't Jake Fisher. This is Blake Fisher.
We're taking
Blake Fisher, and we're coming right back here at pick 87. We're going to reject this real quick, reject that one. All right. So right now, looks like Cole Bishop is the top guy. Were there any positions that you wanted to look at specifically?
I'm thinking here. Let's check two ones I want to check real quick. Edge and corner. Just see what's there.
All right.
Just there.
All right. Let's see. So at edge, we've got Austin Booker, Jalix Hunt, Javon Solomon, Jonah Ellis, that rounds out the top 5. At corner, you've got Andrew Phillips, you've got DJ James, Renardo Green. You also got DeCamarion Richardson,
yep,
and Josh Newton.
Okay. All right. And then I like Andrew Phillips for sure. I don't know if he'd be a great scheme fit, but I do think he could play zone. He could play off.
Yeah, we kind of primarily run a zone kind of corner scheme.
He'd be a good fit. He'd be a good fit for sure. And I think Andrew Phillips is unique because he can play the boundary. He can play the slot. I think his playmaking on the ball can improve a little bit. He can add some more mass to his frame, but I really like his athletic profile. I think he's one of the few corners in this class that score. I have a grading scale that I work with, and a nine is elite. And he was one of the few corners who scored a nine in explosiveness, agility, and fluidity. So really good mobility profile to work with. And he's really good click and closing on those off man routes. And he's good in support too. So let's go with Andrew Phillips here. You can play the boundary or the slot, immediate depth, but a potential long-term starter at slot, depending on what happens with Dax Hill and Hilton.
Nice. I like these picks, man. I like these picks. We've got another one here at 97. So you're back on the board again. Was there any like running backs, or is there any other position, tight end, offensive line that you wanted to look at?
The Bengals got Zach Moss in free agency, and they drafted Chase Brown as well. Zach Moss, you know, not a guy that would preclude you from taking running back, but I think, you know, when he was a starter for Indy last year, he was very efficient as a runner. So they might want to run with him and see what they can get a guy in day three of this class. I think that opportunity is there. So I'm going to pass on running back here. I'm looking.
Sweat is still available. I know you talked about getting that nose tackle. He is available right now.
And that's the mold you still need at that position. We got the three sack with Rook. We got Sheldon Rankins. But now you need that nose tackle to help them play
Dwayne
off.
Dwayne Carter's still there.
Dwayne Carter's still there, too. He's more of a one three sack hybrid. But, you know, he's got that speed to power for sure. So, you know, I just don't want to – the one thing I don't want to do is get guys that are maybe redundant, because you definitely need that zero tech if you want to maintain that odd front flexibility. So
I do think that Lou would be smart enough, and you'll see games that where the Bengals go with like bare fronts or five man front when we play the 49ers. There are going to be games, and I think he's smart enough to say, let's just get a bunch of guys a single guy. But I don't know if they're going to try to recreate what they did with Reader. I think there will be some games in division where they will need a zero, but I don't think it's like the same. I don't think that they're going to try to go get that Reader replacement. Most of our fan base thinks that. I think I'm in the minority where I just think that they'll just throw bodies at the position and they'll have guys just, you know, like single gapping it up like all over the place. Like, I don't know.
And yeah, and that's the thing too. Reader, when he was at his peak, man, like it's really hard to replicate that kind of impact at nose tackle too. Like, he was one of the best in the game when he was at his peak.
It's tough.
It's difficult. Let's take a look at what's there at defensive tackle now. Let's see what the top options are and how you guys feel. Because I know we got Tavondre Sweat. We got Dwayne Carter, who could be a good one gapper, like you said.
Yeah.
I think he can improve his footwork and run defense a little bit, but he's got the profile for it. And then who else is on the board at defense?
We've got Mason Smith. We've got Leonard Taylor. We've got McKinley Jackson. Let's see here.
McKinley Jackson could be a fun one because he's that guy.
Makai Wingo as well is also available.
I think McKinley will be there a lot later too. You get like, I don't know if you can see this, but it's about five or six guys above McKinley right now on the D tackle list.
Yeah. Tyler Davis, Jordan Jefferson is also there as well.
So here's the thing: there's a lot of defensive tackles on the board. We know that you were mentioning they probably want to throw guys at the position who can one gap, but also two gap. If we think McKinley Jackson is going to be there later on, let's go back to the overall board. Let's go back to the all players tab and let's see who's the best player available and if we can get him at a solid position.
Right now, it's linebacker Trevon Wallace out of Kentucky. Then you got Mason Smith. Then you've got Kalen Bullock out of USC. Then you've got Dwayne Carter, Tavondre Sweat, Braylon Allen, Johnny Wilson, Leonard Taylor, Bucky Irving, Spencer Rattler, Josh Newton, McKinley Jackson, Jaden Hicks, Jermaine Burton, and Audric Estime.
All right. Here's the thing. A lot of those guys are DTs too, so we don't have to wait. How do you guys feel about Trevon Wallace? Are you good at linebacker? I know you got Jermaine Pratt. Is he going to be a free agent soon?
We're not great at linebacker, but for this year, it's a lot of talent on the board. I think that they're going to need a linebacker. I don't know how Ace. Yeah. How do you feel about it?
They've re-signed both of them last year
and 80s
in the event that they haven't. The event that they have injury, they do have an Akeem Davis Gaither who they brought back for a year, but they really don't have anything else outside of that.
Okay.
They got Bocci, and they still have the opportunity to sign Marcus Bailey as well, too. They're not in dire need of linebacker, but it is a sneaky, sneaky need.
It sounds like a position that they could potentially address to the level they need to, probably on day three, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So let's stick with defensive tackle here. Dwayne Carter is the top 100 player on my board. I really like the speed to power. I think he does have the profile to be that one gapper if you want him to. I think I want him to improve his footwork and run defense again. But, you know, I think Rook is a guy that you can play at 3-tech and 5-tech. You can put Carter at 1-tech or 3-tech next to him or too high even. So I think, you know, there's some flexibility with that personnel. And Dwayne Carter is a 3-year captain at Duke. He's definitely a great locker room addition for sure. So I think back end of round three, just the functional utility, the floor that he provides and the upside as well, I think it's a good balance. So let's go with Dwayne Carter. Let's keep throwing bodies to that DT room and hope it gets better.
Dwayne Carter, I like it.
The backstory of the Carter, the backstory on this too is that, you know, the Bengals spent a lot of money on the defensive line and a lot of those guys didn't give them the production that they needed. One of my theories is that I think that they're going to try to save a little bit of money, but it's at the same time, stockpile the position. And I think one of the best ways to do it is through the draft. So I think this kind of falls right in line with what I think they'll do on Thursday night, come out of there with some I think they'll get some offensive line guys up front. But they'll walk out of this draft with at least 4 trench players.
For sure. Now, our final pick here, 115. Ian, you are on the clock right now. The linebacker, Trevon Wallace, is still there. You've got Braylon Allen. You've got Leonard Taylor, Bucky Irving. McKinley Jackson is still there. Jaden Hicks. Delmar Glaze. Jared Wiley at tight end is there. Tanner Bordellini at center is there. At edge, you've got Jalix Hunt. Running back, you've got Dylan Loeb, Jalen Wright. Guard, you also have Brandon Coleman. You got Malik Washington, Jalen Ford, and Mason McCormick.
All right. This is a good batch here.
Where are you on Bordellini?
I think he can play center or guard. I think he does have room to keep improving his absorption against power and his base management. I think there are times where he gets a little too upright for his frame. But the explosiveness, the agility, all those things are top tier. And then he's pretty low cut. He's got a good frame too. I think for him, I don't know if he's a perfect scheme fit. I think he's probably more of a zone guy again. So, you know, I don't know if that's there. But again, I think Ted Karras is getting older at center. I think it would behoove the Bengals to have that developmental center prospect who can play guard in a pinch as well. So Bordellini does fit that profile. I think Mason McCormick fits that as well. He might be a better scheme fit. I think Brandon Coleman could be an option. He can play tackle or guard, and I love his athletic tools. I think there are a lot of offensive line guys here, but for me personally, I think my pick would be Brandon Coleman just because he is a top 100 player for me. I think his tape is already, you know, you go back to 2022 when he played tackle primarily, and he had some really good tackle tape, man. He's got the lateral mobility. He can play square to guys. He's got pretty good footwork and hand usage, right? But then in the run game too, explosive, rangy on GT counters, but then he can, you know, keep guys inside his frame and exert power and torque. And I think he checks a lot of boxes. So, you know, right away, he can be that guard if you need to file him in for Volson. And then down the line, I think he can play tackle on the pinch too.
Ian was cooking, man. But yeah, Brandon Coleman is a great pick. This is a recap of Ian's draft here. I'm going to make it a lot larger. Went Brian Thomas at 18. Loved that pick. Then he went Rook in the second round. Blake Fisher in the third round. Bengals get a tackle. Then he follows that up with getting a good corner out of Kentucky and Andrew Phillips. Follows that up with Dwayne Carter and ends it out with Brandon Coleman. Tons of trenches, plus skill players. I think Bengals fans, let us know in the comments what you give Ian's draft. But Ian, we want to thank you again for joining us here on the Cincinnati podcast. Please, once again, let the people know where they can find your stuff.
Yeah, you can find me at IC_draft on Twitter, formerly Twitter. God, I did it again. I'm going to keep calling it Twitter, man. I swear, but that's where you can find me at IC_draft. And Pro Football Network is at PFN365. That's where all of our pre-draft, post-draft content is going to be. We're going to have live draft grades on the 3 nights, and then we're going to have a lot of post-draft coverage in the weeks to come.
Thank you very much, sir. Well, we appreciate it, and good luck to you and your draft endeavors. And definitely, Bengals fans, be sure to give him a follow and check out everything that they have going on over there at PFN.
Thank you, Ian. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
That was Ian Cummins. He ended up joining the show. I really felt like it was very informative. He knew his stuff. He knew what scheme fits guys were.
He was running through it, wasn't he?
And that's what I've been running into when I'm doing a mock draft as well. And I'm like, you got to have players that fit the schemes, because some people just look at the names and they're just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to draft this guy. And it's like, bro, they play a 3-4. He doesn't even fit that system. So, like, the fact that he was able to – the Rosengarten bomb that he dropped, like, saying that Rosengarten isn't a scheme fit for the Bengals, I thought was very interesting. Like,
a lot of our fan base is pretty good on Rosengarten, too. And I think that, you know, like, out of that second tier, if you don't go tackle in the first round, the second tier is kind of scarce. And Rosengarten is one of the guys – but he was saying, you know, in that gap scheme, he didn't know if he'll hold up. So that
he was picked Blake Fisher because, like, listening to Lapp said, like, if they don't go tackle in the first round, he kept talking about Blake Fisher. So, like, him saying that Blake Fisher is a good, like, scheme fit for what the Bengals are trying to do, I thought that was interesting. Rook is a guy that's pretty high on prime. A lot of the guys he picked were pretty high on prime. So I was kind of shocked that he did that. I'm going to dig more into Andrew Phillips because he said that he has some kind of scoring system where he had him as a 9, like an elite corner, possibly. Like, yeah, I'm definitely going to try to look into that. But what were your thoughts on his thoughts on just the draft and just everything overall?
I thought it was good, man. I thought it was dope. I like the information that he was giving us as he was making the pick and the context behind the pick and all the and talking people through it instead of just taking, like, you know, like you said, you know, just the guy that everybody is kind of saying. The Bordellini one, I didn't agree with him fully, but I kind of understood what he was saying. I just think that Bordellini does represent a little bit of a changing of the guards, though, and getting way more athletic at this center position. Yeah, and that's why I like them a lot more. Whereas I think he was picking Coleman based off of what they do right now. I don't know if the Bengals want to do that forever. I do think that they will want to have more zone blocking concepts as a part of, like, what they do. That's why the Rosengarten one, too. I think he has – I don't know. That's a tough one. Rosengarten, my comp for him is the kid or the guy, O'Neal, that plays for the Vikings. So not top-of-the-level tackle or whatever, but a really solid tackle that you feel really good about for your team. Kind of in that Riley Reiff mode when Riley Reiff was, like, in his prime. So I do like Rosengarten or whatever. So, like, I like Fisher, too. So, and Bengals like Notre Dame players, too. They've asked a lot of questions about Notre Dame players before, too. So, I mean, sure. I thought it was really good. I know we haven't done a lot of stuff in the draft. We got a lot of stuff coming up, so I appreciate everybody joining us midday. We thought we'd give you, like, a lunchtime little snack, give you something from PFN, and give you something. I think you do this, too. We try to give people some information or something that's a little bit different than what everybody else is, like, kind of feeding our community. So I thought it was really good Ian had some time to come on.
For sure. I know you got to go. Before you get up out of here, let the people know what you're doing with Playback for the draft so that they can join you over there.
Currently right now, if you know me from Instagram, I've always done, like, these live streams of the games and everything like that. This upcoming year, I'm going to be doing a lot of my streams, or all of my streams, probably on playback.tv. It's an app. Go on there and search up Ringless Bandits. I might have a tweet on there at the top right now, but I have a contest right now. There are going to be 3 winners. I'm doing a live stream of the NFL draft. All you got to do is retweet this tweet and then join the playback.tv. It doesn't cost any money, but I'm going to have a live stream of the actual draft. And then you hear wild commentary and reactions. And then you also have an opportunity to have a microphone and say what you want to say. You'll also have the chat just like you have on YouTube currently right now. So you have all these different things all integrated in one. I think it's going to be really, really dope. Come check out playback.tv. Somebody in the comments, Josh, is saying Playback is awesome. He enjoys it. So make sure y'all come on there. If y'all have ever been on Twitter Spaces, it's the same concept, but except you have video, crystal clear, and then you have my commentary along with it, as well as you have an opportunity to chime in as well. Retweet the tweet that I'm putting on my Twitter right now.
For sure, for sure. Make sure you follow Zim on Twitter at Zim Houday. Get that link. I also want to bring up our partner that is coming back to the Cincinnati podcast and coming to you guys very soon. Our Fans of Cincy. That's right. You guys can get ready to book your trips already. Charlotte or Germany, they have some flights there. They have Nashville, Pittsburgh, trips to L.A., trips to Dallas. Fansofcincy.com. Get the early bird special. Get it locked in. You don't have to plan your entire trip. They do it for you. They're going to take care of your flights, hotels. There's going to be a tailgate and all of that. It is a great tool to use, especially if you're like me. You have a lot of stuff going on. You don't have the time necessarily to try to shop at, around everything and get the right prices. Fansofcincy.com, head over there and get that signed up for today. So that way you already have your season already scheduled. So shout out to Fans of Cincy. You can join that and check them out at fansofcincy.com. Be sure to let them know Ace and Zim sent you. We have partaked in a lot of the events that Fans of Cincy has. We can just speak about how good they are. Wherever they're going, they're going to have food that matches that current city. And you can be in a whole nother city with a bunch of Bengals fans. So definitely be sure to check out Fans of Cincy. I'm also going to be on Bleacher Report days 2 and 3 of the draft. So definitely be sure to show us love and show up there and support. Going to be covering the draft with some AFC North individuals over there. So make sure you show me and Zim some love. When it comes to that, we appreciate all of the support from you guys. And then, of course, if you're sitting back watching the draft, you got to have some Uno wings.
Midwest best is the place to be for Q and wings. Say what up to Jordan Battle. We be going to battle. Intercepting balls like CTB did on Seattle. Putting six up on AZ. Juice gang amazing. Make sure you come get these wings. The Zimby stay blazing. And T-Gang be smooth as ice. Jamal making DJs fold. TB got big levels and now you are ready. So hits are pretty for Uno wings. Cam got the new wings. We call them CTBs. Only at MB's. Station to the Zim. M into the B's.
Shout out to Midwest Best Barbecue. Be sure to check them out. 669 Justice Court in Loveland, Ohio. You can get barbecue. You can get chicken wings. You can get ice cream. You can get Arnold Palmer's. Let them know Ace and Zim sent you. Make sure you check it out. My son asks me every day. He's like, Dad, what's your favorite food? He was like, is it Uno wings? I'm like, yeah, it's Uno wings. So definitely make sure you stop in, get you some Unos, get you some G-Funks. They are very good. They also had a CTB wings. We just played the commercial for that. That is a buffalo lemon pepper sauce. So Ooh. Definitely be sure to check that out. But like Zim said, stay tuned, hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell, because we are going to have a bunch of content lined up for you guys before now until Thursday. Zim, go ahead and let the people know what you want to say.
I was going to say I had a quick funny story. My son, he was eating. I'm sorry, I got braces, so it's like different for me now. My son was eating some wings the other day, and they were like Cajun wings or something. And he was like, "These not Uno wings." And he's only had Uno wings one time, right. And so they're that good. Somebody say I got to try these wings. They're that good,
for sure.
That's all I got. I mean, other than that, just make sure y'all continue to support us. We're going to be doing some stuff. I think you got a guest spot tonight with Malik or whatever. So just be looking for us popping up everywhere. We got to get back on our stuff. Like, we've been chilling like in the springtime, but we're about to start ramping stuff up.
For sure. For sure. Thank you guys for tapping in with the Cincinnati podcast.
It's an exciting time to be a Bengals fan.
Them.
We got a special show as always.
The voice of the Bengals. Dan Orr, Willie Anderson,
Corey Dillon.
The name of this thing is called Cincinnati, and I'm not going to stop.
Talk to us about that roller coaster season.
I'm still going to give you the same AJ.
I'm going to work as hard as I can to be the best.
Always working ever since I met y'all, bro.
I got to get you a top 5 receiver.
Watch out for us.